I'm very pleased to introduce today Gulmira Sheryazdanova, who is an associate professor of political science at the Seyfullin Kazakh Agrotechnical University in Astana. Her education was from Leningrad and later St. Petersburg State University in Russia. And later she received her PhD in political science from the Institute of Philosophy of the Academy of Sciences of the Republic of Kazakhstan. Previously, she had been on a junior faculty development program in political science at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo in 2008-2009. And she's been in other places too, but currently she's supported with a fellowship from the Bolshoi program of the Republic of Kazakhstan. Her interests are comparative politics, modern nation-building processes in post-communist Kazakhstan, and a number of various topics. And today she'll be talking about opportunities for electronic government to reduce corruption and bureaucracy in Kazakhstan. So without any further delays, I present to you Gulmira Sheryazdanova.
Thank you so much for coming. And so the title of my presentation is Opportunity for Electronic Government to Reduce Corruption and Bureaucracy in Kazakhstan. My presentation consists of three parts, three questions. First of all, what does it mean electronic government in general? And what does it mean electronic government readiness index in general and particularly in Kazakhstan? The second part, corruption and corruption perception index in Kazakhstan. And the third, how can e-government or electronic government combat corruption in general and in Kazakhstan in particular? So, a lot of people don't know about what is mean electronic e-government. Because when I said that my topic is an e-government, a lot of people don't understand what is this. So, electronic government or e-government in generally is defined as the format of internet for delivering government information and public services to citizens online. So, actually, electronic government is a website that help people to apply to government in order to get some permissions, some license, some documents, or data access, fines or penalties, other internet. So it's a kind of electronic communication. It's an instrument to provide people public services online, other internet. what does it mean electronic government readiness index? This index is a comprehensive indicator of a development of electronic communication, which consists of three sub-indexes. First of all, index of development of electronic services or online service index. The second index of telecommunication infrastructure, and the third, human capital index. As you see, it's a comprehensive indicator of how we can use electronic communication, how it can be delivering to people, and how they can use electronic communication in general. This index, the United Nations has a rating of this index every 2 years, and just recently the United Nations announced this rating. According to this rating, Kazakhstan ranked 28th in this year, and you can see the changing the dynamic of changing from 2008 to 2014. So Kazakhstan, as you see, has some progress in this way. And according to this report in 2012, Kazakhstan was tied with Singapore in terms of e-participation index. E-participation index is government projects electronically. So the next table, you can see the rating of post-Soviet countries in terms of e-government readiness index. As you see, Russia and Kazakhstan, they are leader in this list, and Russia took 27th position and Kazakhstan 28. And other post-Soviet country between Russia and Kazakhstan and other post-Soviet country, a big lag or big gap between them. So dynamical change in rating of readiness index from 2012 to 2014 among the post-Soviet country. I think it will be interesting to compare post-Soviet country in this term. You can see that Kazakhstan has a big progress, about 10 position. Russia stayed in the same place as in 2012, and Ukraine decreased index on 19 position. Maybe it depends on some political issues, of course, economical issues, and that's why. And Belarus has some progress to sixth position, around the sixth position. As I said before, this index consists of three sub-indexes. First of them, it's OCA index. This index is provided by Apple opportunity to participate electronically. They can get the benefits of electronic payment services, such as payment of various taxes, fees, and fines, as well as submission of application, and getting a variety of socially relevant permits. So with theoretical point of view, it should be improve the transparency of permitted system and combat bureaucracy and corruption, because we know that permitted system is a very the resource of corruption to authority permit or not. That's why it could be e-government can be considered as a anti-corruption strategy in order to combat corruption, and bureaucracy. The second index is the index of telecommunication infrastructure. As you see, the same Kazakhstan in this case is lagging because it's explained by lack of access to high-speed internet and number of computers per 100 people in Kazakhstan. The next, the third, last index, the human capital index, as we know, its index consists of literacy, indicator of literacy, education, longevity, and other quality of life. The literacy in Kazakhstan rates in 99.8% according to World Development Indicator. So Kazakhstan on the second place after Belarus and then Ukraine, and Russia on the last place in this case. Next diagram, you can see the percentage of internet users. As you see, in 2006, Kazakhstan was just only 3.3% from all population. Internet users in Kazakhstan were only 3%, and now it's 63.2% of internet users.
What happened in 2012?
2000, yes, but I'm sorry. I maybe it's some mistake, my mistake.
Uh-huh. Can
but because, yes, 2006, it was just 3.3, and now it's some progress.
Yeah, but 2011, it
maybe
was
it's my mistake, sorry.
Uh-huh.
So, and as you see, some progress because government implemented some programs, big program to improve computer literacy, to improve skills to use computer in Kazakhstan. Especially for all the people, it's still hard to use computer, to use electronic communication for new generation, for young generation, it became very easily, and it's, of course, we need time in order to get some progress in this way. This diagram, you can see, sorry, it's in Russian, mm-hmm. but you can see the Kazakhstan on the 11th position among the Asian countries around the world. The first position has South Korea, and then Japan, and Malaysia, Singapore, and also Armenia and Azerbaijan. On the 10th and 9th position, and Kazakhstan has a 11th position in this case.
What's North Korea? Probably about zero.
I'm not sure.
It's not on that chart.
South Korea, and by the way, the U.S. on the seventh place in this rating. This rating was announced just recently in the end of June. And you can see that Kazakhstan among the countries on the 11th position.
What's the column on the right?
Sorry?
The rightmost column?
It's a internet penetration. I mean percentage who or population who can use internet freely, and it's like an indicator of development of computer skills in general, I think so.
Is China? Oh, I see China's
China. China on the Kitai, maybe who can read in Russian on the
12.
11. Oh, sorry, 12.
Well,
Kitai.
Yeah, 12. It's China, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Armenia, post-Soviet countries, Malaysia, Macau, Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, Brunei, Japan, and South Korea. South Korea is a leader. In this case, yes.
Kazakhstan's still below 50% though. Mm-hmm. For how high it is on the list, that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this database was made in 2012. Mm-hmm. So as a conclusion, I can say that according to the concept of global digital divide, the world is divided into two parts. It's information developed country and information developing country. And Kazakhstan, as you see from this data, that database reduces this lack by making one progress on the development economy in the last 5 years. The next topic, as you see, yes, it's a corruption in Kazakhstan. So it's some satiric, maybe satiric picture or ironical picture. You know, it's maybe because some person who want to open their own its own business, he have to get a lot of permission. He have to get a lot of documents in order to open their own business, open restaurant, open cafe or service anyway. And he have to get a lot of permission from traffic policy, maybe finance policy or permitting system. from government, and all of them on the back of this person, and some ironical picture how it's really hard to open business, maybe because people have to get a lot of permission from the government.
Is that a judge on the left? That
it's a judge.
Looks diabolical.
The next rating is it's corruption perception index. This index rating from International Transparency International Organization. As you see, this rating has some range from 0 to 10. 0 is the highest level, 10 is the lowest, and Kazakhstan ranked the 140 out of 177 countries considered in 2013. So Kazakhstan ranks consistently from 2 to 3. The highest level of corruption was in 2000 and the lowest in 2007. So as you see, according to this index, corruption in Kazakhstan, it's high.
In the ranking, the 140th, is that the lowest country is the worst or the best in terms of corruption?
No, it's the 0 is the highest level, you know, the 10 is the lowest.
No,
and Kazakhstan
ranked
between 2 and 3. So.
No, I meant the ranking out of 177 countries.
It's bad.
Yeah, it gets worse as you go
yes,
down.
Yes,
down.
From all of 177 countries, Kazakhstan has 140.
So which country is the greatest corrupt? The champion?
I'm not sure, but maybe
you don't
some African countries.
It's actually a tie, I think, between North Korea and Somalia right now.
Uruguay, Somalia, something like that.
Oh, it's Zimbabwe is like the fifth lowest position or something.
Oh,
okay. There, yeah.
Okay. But what does mean corruption? The concept of corruption in Kazakhstan in particular, because we know that corruption is commonly defined as misuse of entrusted power for private gains. In Kazakhstan in particular, corruption means not bribe directly, but it could be in different ways. First of all, it's the kleptocracy.
Mm-hmm.
Kleptocracy means abuse of authority, manipulation of public property in sphere of public procurement, creating of oligopolistic markets. So this kind of corruption on the first place in the list of corruption in Kazakhstan. The second is extortion. Extortion is fortunately could be in permissive and licensed spheres. The third is cronyism. Cronyism, you know, it's an unofficial relationship or patron customer relationship. And cronyism as nepotism is deeply rooted in social life because of some reasons. I can say that about 35% of the population of Kazakhstan doesn't agree that it's a too big problem, because we consider informal or unofficial relatives as normal. It depends on some maybe mentality. I mean, lobbying of affiliated business enterprise by official bodies also can be considered as a corruption. Of course, corruption is a big issue in around the world, and corruption is generally is some obstacles in economic progress, and corruption contradicts libertarian principle in general. Free market automatically ensures justice, because corruption creates some unequal opportunity to business, and corruption contradicts the free competition. That's why it's a big issue in any country, of course. Especially in country, in developing country. So the most corruption seen in Kazakhstan, according to General Prosecutor Office, the most corrupt sphere in Kazakhstan is a public procurement, because of manipulation of private property is a big resource of corruption. And the second premise is fear of state permits, for example, Department of Architecture, set of limitations, sanitary inspection. For example, if some person wants to open their own business, they have to pay maybe bribery and so on. That's why it's so. It's very actual. So the first, it's a control and police authority, like a traffic policy, finance policy, taxes, and ministries, and so on, because of they have authority to permit or not. Of course, it's a resource of corruption. This way, it can be a resource of corruption. And the next level of corruption has become calculated on the basis of measuring the proportion of customers who have used informal ways. Informal way, you know, it's like a cronyism, nepotism, as I said before, it's really popular in Kazakhstan. So traffic police, customs, sanitary inspection, it's a, as you see, percentage of this in this way. Here we can see some ironical pictures, actually, maybe. What is the resource of corruption? This premises is here. I can say that administrative barriers is a big resource of corruption. What is mean administrative barriers? It's bureaucratic or obstacles in obtaining a public service. There is permission and license. Here you can see some satiric, maybe picture, who knows, Russian can understand with sense of humor. To the fight for getting of license against bureaucracy in office. Some person can want to get some permission with Pravka or some documents, and he can have a big problem with bureaucracy in this office. The next table, I would like to say rating of administrative barriers. You can say that the first place, long lines for getting the public service, cronyism, unfriendly staff, extortion, and incompetent staff, and so on. A lot of obstacles. This is classification of administrative barriers in this case. Time consuming, lack of information, discomfort, unfriendly environment, and incompetent staff, high fees of bonds, woefulness, and so on. The most common administrative barriers is cronyism and extortion. And you can say that extortion is distributed on 70% less than cronyism. It's official data from from South Sulawesi, which made by Kazakhstani scientists. And third part of my lecture or presentation, how can e-government combat corruption using electronic communication? So first of all, e-government creates electronic transparent communication. So because of transparency, everything is open and people can track on their own documents, and they can know who is responsible for them, for solving any problems. So electronic communication creates transparent communication between people, citizens, and government officials. It's very important. And next, e-government removes officials as a mediator between citizens and government, because people can apply directly to the government. The system is open and it can be very good in order to avoid officials as a mediator between government and citizens. Also, e-government reduced discretion of official, of course, because of free and open communication. And thus, e-government can lead to reduction in corruption, essentially. So it can be, if electronic government used effectively, it can be reduced corruption eventually. Here you can see some information about correlation between development of electronic government and reduce of corruption around the world. This topic is very popular in Asian countries, for example, in Philippines, in India, Pakistan, in South Korea. A lot of investigation how electronic government can combat corruption, how electronic government can influence and impact corruption. And as you see from this survey, it's made by Anderson Electronic Government as an anti-corruption strategy 2008. Its investigation, this survey investigates the how e-government readiness index can influence on the corruption control index in 149 countries from 1996 to 2006. And you can see from this diagram, as an example, the e-government distribution from 10% to 90% requires control of corruption distribution from 10% to 23%. This is the red line show us the percentage of citizens who are given bribe official before using of internet, using of electronic government. And red lines, green lines show us the what happened after using of electronic government. I think it clearly shows us the effect of electronic governments on control of corruption in India, in this case in India.
What do the circles in gray refer to?
Sorry?
The gray circles, what do they refer to? Are those government agencies or what?
You mean this one?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but it's like a specific indicator. I don't know exactly, because I'm interested just in this case, because you see a big gap between of Kazakhstan. Government of Kazakhstan has a series of measures to use electronic communication. It's several spheres. First of all, electronic public procurement, as you, as I said before, it's this sphere in the third place in corruption list, because official have some authority to manipulate public property and introducing the public procurement, electronic public procurement will be very, very useful in this case. The second, electronic permissive sphere, EUI licenses. The third, electronic registration of business. The next, electronic declaration of custom procedures. Traffic policy and electronic center. Electronic services in the social life. Let's consider each of them in particular. For example, electronic public procurement. This service was launched in January 2010, and it is enabled entrepreneurs without leaving the office to participate in tenders, make this process more clearly, more open, and that's why it's very, very important to control big corruption in this sphere because of electronic way. The next electronic permissive sphere, e-licensing. This sphere on the second place of corruption list, as I said before, and this project was recognized as the best project in the category of e-business, electronic business in competition in the form of World Summit on Information Society among more than 280 projects in Geneva. So it using of this system, a lot of people can get license electronically, and this is very useful and very important in order to control, in order to avoid corruption in this sphere. Electronic registration of business. As I said before, it can be very big issue to open their own business because a lot of permission, but due to this system, people can create, for example, construction business or any other business without any obstacles. For example, before using this system to create a construction business, the applicant was required to collect 12 different documents and permits and wait about 1 month and maybe more. Now it's they reduce the amount of required documents. For the electronic government, this procedure can take just 15 minutes. So, and some statistics in this way, you can see in 2009, 86 licenses was automated, and 2012, 87 permits was automated. And total number of licenses has been halved from 135 to 5. 1,000. Yeah, you see. So, the next electronic declaration of custom procedures. As I said before, custom is the list of corruption, is the corruption list, and the customs system determines the customs value of goods, which affect the corruption potential of the system. So it's a kind of risk of corruption in this sphere. And Kazakhstan plans in this year move to the payment declaration of all customs procedure, and it can be impact on the trades between states considered one of the possibilities in fighting corruption too. Traffic police and electronic sensor. Traffic police, you see that illegal business sale for driving license. It's a big issue. For example, just in Almaty, it can bring about 3 million tenge. It's about $16,000 per day, just per day.
It should be Almaty?
In Almaty. In Almaty and Almaty region.
No, not Almaty.
Yeah, not just so, and in the big cities of Kazakhstan, such as Almaty, Astana, Karaganda, Aktau, launched a specialized electronic service center for service for population, which registered vehicles and issued a driving license. So, a lot of opportunity to combat to avoid corruption in this way. Use electronic database, avoid the lines, avoid the intermediaries, payment of files on the internet, open the presence of cameras on the wall, reduce the human factor, I mean informal relationship. It's very common, it's called human factor. You know. Eliminate the possibility of corruption in general. And at last, electronic services on social sphere, the electronic services in social sphere, for example, social sphere including education, kindergarten has some corruption too because of lack of places in kindergarten, state kindergarten or state, or getting state grants. And Ukraine government implemented the corporate of social services that called family, which includes free public services to get a birth certificate, to get the loans of childbirth, and register to wait in the kindergarten. So it can be considered as an instrument to combat corruption too in this way. Some statistics on electronic public services. You can see from this table that now Kazakhstan electronic website that's called e-government.kz, e-gov.kz portal users are authorized 255 services, including penalties and kinds of state duties. People can pay electronically, for example, for traffic violation, they can pay electronically. They can pay a lot of, they can get a license electronically, and so on. And some numbers of services provided on portal from 2010 to 2014.
Do you know how many months are included in the 2014 figure?
I guess that it just maybe 3 months.
First
like
quarter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can see the progress in this case. It's became more popular. And it's really, really useful for people. And as a conclusion, some problems and challenges of using understand a lot of obstacles and a lot of problems still, and but in order to avoid some obstacles, with my point of view, Kazakhstan, the government of Kazakhstan should resolve some problems. First of all, integrate e-government application with a system of measures to combat corruption. The anti-corruption reform should be in parallel with the public control over the officials and opportunity for the total government to reduce corruption. So, fortunately, according to some survey, just 40% of population 40% of population doesn't believe in effectiveness of anti-corruption programs, because they these programs cannot solve the problem. The problem of administrative barriers. So administrative barriers in this case is a big resource of corruption. In order to eliminate this obstacle, eliminate administrative barriers, we need to use electronic government, electronic communication more actively. That's why it should be some correlation between measures of state measures, anti-corruption program, and opportunity of electronic communication. So these two processes should be correlated to each other. And the second task, second goal, in order to resolve this problem is providing free access of public information, of increased transparency. According to some survey, transparency in Kazakhstan is still low. Maybe it's because of we need to some real law that can be provided free access to information. So we need to change some law in order to make our system more transparent. Increase transparency is very, very important. The next, popularize electronic government activity and access to use government information. So people have, should know about electronic government, about the opportunity, the new opportunity of electronic communication in order to avoid some obstacles and corruption in this case. Development of morality to avoid corruption. Of course, it's very important in order to avoid some cronyism and nepotism. People have to use new opportunity to avoid corruption. This next, constantly monitor the effectiveness of the government action in fight against corruption. We need to to make some systematic survey of citizens, which will be make more clearly the impact of the government on corruption, as well as provide valuable feedback. So we need to investigate this problem. I think it's very important in Kazakhstan now. So in general, as I said before, my topic, of course, now it's too hard to say about the strong correlation between electronic government and combat corruption, but in Kazakhstan, we have a lot of opportunity to fight corruption using electronic government. And maybe a future investigation will be about how, about real influence of electronic governments to control corruption, to fight corruption. Thank you.
Do you want to field your own questions?
Yeah. Sorry for my English. Maybe I cannot understand your problem. Maybe sometimes. So,
thanks for your talk. I thought it was really interesting. I think there's a lot of potential with e-government in terms of getting rid of places where corruption can take place. But one thing I'm wondering is, why is it that this seems like the level of e-government, at least in the former Soviet Union, doesn't track how much corruption is in these different countries all that well? I mean, you have Russia up there as having a really good e-government, and it seems like they've had e-government there for a while, but it's doing, as we know, Russia's doing really badly in terms of corruption in society. While, say, the Republic of Georgia, which has probably made the most changes in corruption in the former Soviet Union, seems to have only kind of a mediocre e-government score. So I'm just curious why you think the theoretical, seems like they should be making changes, but it's not necessarily coming out on the ground.
Yes. So, of course, you are right, absolutely, because in Georgia, the government is not so development, but the combat corruption, the problem of anti-corruption is very strong, and they have a really good result to combat corruption. And Russia, absolutely, as a Kazakhstan, has a big problem with corruption. Of course, it's hard to say about strong correlation between e-government and corruption still. But I think that we need to consider electronic government as one of the instruments of anti-corruption strategy, because we need to use opportunity in this case. It's one of the instruments to combat corruption, and of course, not just using internet. But people should control and the officials, and of course it depends of how democracy in the country is developed. It depends of political culture, it depends on democracy, it depends not just on the electronic government, but it can be one of the instruments to combat corruption.
One explanation or justification that's used to explain corruption in the third world countries is that the official salaries are just so low that they depend on the bribes to, as a legitimate part of their income. To what extent is that true in Kazakhstan?
Yes, you are right, absolutely, because people, for example, official salary of official is not so high, and they have to take bravery, maybe, if you, but it's, I would not justify them. Of course, it's not just, we should not justify it on this reason of bribery, because we need to change system in general, of course. And using electronic government can be one of the way to solve this problem.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed your talk. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about e-government in education and what specifically is the Ministry of Education and Science doing? You mentioned process of getting grants, so I assume that's Bolshak program. Are there admissions, government admissions sites, or is that based on individual universities or schools? Or, what specific information about strategies or websites could you give us?
Okay. As I know, the Goloshak, the young people who want to apply to Goloshak, we can use e-government website and apply electronically, of course. Goloshak competition is very, in this case, Goloshak competition is very open, and it's really open and
fair,
yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know that in Kazakhstan, in order to get state grant to in getting education, the young people who want to apply to the grant, they have to pass through exam that called ENTER, so it's a computer exam, mm-hmm. and this exam make this process more clearly because of it passed through electronic communication, mm-hmm. that I know in this case. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful instrument to make this process clearly, I mean, exam electronically. Exam.
Really an interesting talk. I just had a question. I admit the using e-commerce government makes a lot of sense in regards to like reducing corruption. But I guess the question is, the trick would be in implementing it, because a lot of these electronic infrastructure programs cost a lot of money to build and even more to build well. So, I mean, when a nation is starting up building these infrastructure, what we have, whether they're building it themselves or chartering it out to someone else, you have a big giant what you're creating is a giant pot of government money to charter out. How do you prevent that from becoming squandered and stuck? I mean, it's still in the corrupt system that it was being built to fight, so how do you prevent it from becoming like, how does a nation like Kazakhstan prevent it from becoming a cyber big dig?
Big Dig is a project in Boston that was very, very corrupt.
So, and expensive.
And expensive. And so how can Kazakhstan avoid having e-government becoming just another source of corruption in terms of how you build it and how you operate it and how you pay for it?
So I think that if I understand you correct, you asked me about how government can avoid corruption in order to use budget, in order to use money to create electronic government. Of course, we need to control everything, but it's too hard to control this sphere because of a lot of risk of corruption anyway, but it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. Yeah, I mean that electronic communication is better than nothing. We should try to combat in this case. We should try to improve the system in general, because in order to avoid this risk of corruption, we need to change system in general. That's why it's so important to use modern methods, modern electronic methods, in order to combat this problem.
Can I just make a cultural point here? One of the things that's always surprising for me is, and I only experienced this related to the former Soviet Union, is that, you know, if you're downloading forms for visas or applications and so on, you know, a lot of American organizations which sponsor grants and so on will say, this application is free, or this form is free. And I think culturally for us, we don't normally think about forms being something you have to buy. But I think the problem is that there you probably have people who say, oh no, you have to pay me this for this kind of form and so on. So there's a lot of basic cultural practices that are kind of different and surprising.
Yes, especially the permits, not just form, maybe it's not so important to get just form, maybe it's more important to get the permissions of documents, you know, that's practical, it means that some documents which provide you some rules, some opportunities, so on. So it's really big issues to get some documents because the official has authority to permit or not. They have some resource to grant. They have an authority. That's why it's so difficult sometimes to avoid these obstacles.
Can I ask one question? Is there something special about Singapore in e-government? Because I know, for example, in Tatarstan, they were studying e-government in Singapore. Is Singapore a leader in e-government?
Yes. As I said before, South Korea is a permanent leader in the Middle East, and Singapore has a big progress, and Singapore on the top of this list. And I think a lot of things we can borrow from Singapore, and Kazakhstan borrow from Singapore a lot of things. And it's still an Asian region like Singapore, India, South Korea, they are leading in this sphere, and we can learn a lot of things from them.
Is there a possibility for anomalies to develop in this scenario? What I mean is, like, take a country like Cuba. It has a beautiful official website with, links to all the government ministries and embassies and whatever. But I mean, we know quite well that Cuba has a very limited internet penetration and a very limited transparency of its government. So I mean, isn't there the possibility that the foreign governments might put up some very nice websites, but in fact, the level of penetration isn't so great?
Yes, of course. These two processes, I mean, penetration of internet and the creation of e-government websites, very close. In order to create effective e-government, we need to a lot of users, a lot of people who can use it effectively. Of course, these processes impact each other. I mean, in order to have really good e-government, we need to learn people how they can use it, how they can use the opportunity, this opportunity. Of course, that's why electronic readiness index is so complicated. It consists of three sub-indexes, including human capital, education of people, including penetration of creation of, development of infrastructure in general, of course. That's why it consists of all of them. And we need to understand that each part of this is very important in order to make e-government, in order to make work of e-government effectively.
Mm-hmm. Ask a question? just purely out of curiosity, I'm wondering, Gulmira, how you or members of your family, your friends, use e-government. Can you provide an example or two? What are the transactions that you're doing now that you weren't able to do 5-7 years ago?
Okay, I can say that it is real easy to get some documents. It's called Adisne Spravka. It's a document about where you live and what is your address, because in many cases we need this kind of information in order to apply to some services, we really need these documents. Mm-hmm. And I know from my own experience that it's very easy. You can go to electronic center that's called Центр обслуживания населения. I'm sorry, I switched to Russian. And you can get it in few minutes. It's very, very easy now. Mm-hmm. And I have some experience to get his pravka by internet, with internet.
Mm-hmm. To show your place of residence?
Yes,
okay.
To show my ID. Mm-hmm. On my ID, they we have some information. It's called IN, it's an identification number.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get some information electronically, we need just show our ID. Mm-hmm. That on our state ID, like state ID, and because it became more easily, and I think it will be for new generation, especially for young people, they can use it very fast than older generation, but it's become more and more popular in my country, really, because we have some ID card,
mm-hmm.
special.
Kazakhstan loves pravkas. Oh my
God. Yes, as all of post-Soviet country likes pravka. It's true. It's true. But as I said before, Kazakhstan tried to make rug between, for example, USA and developing country and developed country more, this gap between advanced country and the developed country can be less.
Mm-hmm.
So, will you take one last question?
I was just wondering how the government could play a role in reducing corruption, for example, in a traffic stop, just like a speeding ticket or something like that.
Traffic stop?
Like a speeding ticket.
Штраф.
You mean tickets, for example, traffic policy,
yeah.
Can give us tickets, and we can pay these tickets electronically. We can avoid the human contact.
But you still have to receive the ticket, and there's the human contact, and that's usually where the corruption takes place in Central Asia, that I have seen in traffic stops in Central Asia.
So guy talking
about Chicago.
Guy in Chicago. They have cameras there that'll.
Yeah. Now we have some modernity. They have the camera, and it's not so easy like it was in last time. So because of people, it's depend of person. If person want to avoid corruption, I mean, if person don't want to pay this guy in order to avoid tickets, he or she can pay electronically.
My impression has been that the police are really resistant to that. They'll stop you and, like, if you say, no, I actually want to pay my ticket, they'll get, like, who do you think you are, like, asking to actually pay your ticket, just give me, like, half the price. And
yes.
So how does this avoid that problem?
I don't know.
Okay.
Really, I don't know, but we, it depends on person, it depends on culture, it depends
right.
on some mentality, education. Mm-hmm. If person respect each own rule, each own position. I mean, if a person respect the each own rights,
mm-hmm.
He or she prefer to be online.
Right. Well, that's a societal change that has to happen, that this will maybe help happen. But I don't think e-government solves the problem by itself.
Yes, of course, by itself it's not possible. That's why I mentioned that we need to combine all action together
mm-hmm.
in order to really combat corruption.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that- that sounds like a good place to stop. I'll point out that the USA ranks number 19. That's food for thought. So please join me in thanking.